We're in a building called Spectral. I think it's a sort of place where collectives can come and collect and talk and chat and conspire. I mean,
collectively.
Collectively. Yeah. I'm stood with Charles Creel, who's just done a very emotive talk. I thought I was the only one that would cry today, and you literally were. You were in tears at one point because of a story very close to your heart. Can you share some of it here?
So a journalist named Jackie Sutton was found dead in a toilet cubicle in Ataturk Airport a week ago today, and it's been attributed to a suicide. A lot of people on Twitter have questioned that. A lot of people who knew her and had worked with her for a long time. There are a lot of journalists out there who are doing really difficult work. The work that I've been doing is very close to the work that she has been doing. And because of this, a lot of us have realized it's just not safe to go and help a lot of folks that we've been working with for a while in Iraq. And so we're having to either not help them or find other ways to try to help them, and it's a pity.
And it ties in many ways to a platform you currently have in development to give voice and the opportunity to have massively viewed content on an international level for NGOs and, well, anybody really.
That's right. What we're trying to do is create a viral content machine that works across all different platforms that can be harnessed by NGOs.
Normally when somebody says, we're going to do a viral content machine, my eyebrows raise in a quizzical fashion, go, oh my God, you know, the amount of people that say that they can do this. But having heard you talk and heard your background, where, I mean, you've studied in depth game mechanics and, as you say, gamification.
Yes.
Explain the difference between the two.
Okay. Well, first on the background. So, yes, I mean, I'm an Emmy-nominated game designer, and I've worked on some really, you know, I've worked on X Factor and Shaun the Sheep and some really big stuff, and it's been very exciting. And I, you know, because I really enjoy that, but what fascinates me about it is the ability to tell story in that medium, but also how human behavior works within games, how people respond to the different game mechanics that are set up. So both game mechanics are used, but also gamification, as you mentioned, are being used in platforms. You know, the huge difference between the two of them is gamification is like a tiered reward system. So it's not much more than collecting stamps at the grocery store used to be way back in the day, you know, in my mother's day. And if you collect enough stamps, then you get a certain thing. That's gamification. Game mechanics are small bits of action and option that happen within a game, and when you string them together, you suddenly get complexity. And in-game mechanics is where really exciting stuff starts to happen.
And you explained how Facebook works, and it was really quick and really concise and fascinating to somebody like myself who kind of saw what was happening and decided just to put Facebook on the back burner. Can you explain it again?
Yeah, sure, I'm happy to. So there's a loop in Facebook. That's the main loop of how it works. And you have, in that loop at the top, you would have trigger, then you have an action, you have random variable reward, and then you have investment. And the investment always contains the seed of the next trigger. So an example of how that would work is, the trigger is I feel lonely. The action is I take out my phone and I look at Facebook. The random variable reward is somebody has put a post up. And then my investment is I make a comment on their post. Then I put my phone away. Now, that investment contains the seed of the next trigger and my next loop through the cycle in that I get my phone back out again and I want to see if somebody's commented on my comment or if they've liked my comment or what they might have said. And there I am, I've got the whole, I'm back in a loop again. Now this wouldn't be addictive except for the random variable reward aspect, the random and the variable bit. So it can be anything from, the reward could be bad content that I don't want to see, all the way through to somebody friend requested me and they're really hot. So it can be anywhere on that spectrum.
Because of that, the user feels like they have a little bit of a control over the situation, I guess. This is my doing, not the actual mechanism of interaction here.
Yeah, well, it's really interesting because you do believe that it is your doing. And in fact, it's not your doing at all. And the mechanic you just talked about is very much based on slot machine design, where people have the illusion that by banging the side of the machine, for example, they're going to predict the outcome, which, you know, or they're going to influence the outcome. Or if I do this in succession really quickly, that will change the outcome. It's like nothing changes the outcome. It's like the moment you push the button, the outcome was already decided, and then all the bells and whistles you're seeing are just there to get you invested via user delight, you know. So, and these are all different mechanics.
I just used to wait until the guy had pumped all of his money in and then go in, win once and leave.
Well, exactly. And you know, I've only gambled once, and I went into a bookies and I bet on the Turner Prize, and this was back when I was in the art world and everybody knew who was going to win the Turner Prize, and I won tons of money and I thought, I can never ever do this again. Right, this is it. I'll never come back.
You bet all your luck in one go. You've only gambled once, but it's a gamble now. Lightful is, in many ways, you're putting your heart and soul into a platform which has a secret ingredient you won't share right now. So maybe it's not a total gamble, because you seem pretty confident that the secret ingredient that you say is 1,000% ethical in the way that it just does so much good is going to carry this platform through.
Yes.
The confidence of born in America?
Born in America by chance, yes. Yes, born on circus, actually. So there you are.
So, you know about games, you know about playing the public, but the mechanisms you've been talking about, from what some people call a nefarious, not a platform now, you've told me it's an addiction. Mm. How is that going to be different to your magic ingredient?
Right. So, I mean, you know, around the magic ingredient, we're finding a way to. There are people who are not very good at spreading their message, but certainly have a lot of resources. And then there are people who would like to help them distribute those resources, and are there to hear the message. So there's a potential thing there. There's a potential exchange, without explaining it.
Yeah, it's difficult. So where do people go to just bookmark the website for later?
So right now it's lightful.xyz and XYZ, sorry. But right now it's very much pointed at NGOs. So you will not find a thing there for the public. What you'll find is something there for the NGOs. We start with the NGO side of things.
And I bumped into you yesterday, and over a beer I said to you, tomorrow I guarantee you will get one particular question. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember, and I did get that question, indeed. Yeah, you were right.
Will it be open source? And I kind of liked your answer, because of the way that you're iterating. You're going to do your best to ensure that people can trust the code.
Yes, they have to be able to trust the code. I have a very high standard for the level of design that has to be there, that's implemented. There are good things about open source, and then there are negatives about open source. I think that, one of the good... I think the metaphor I use is like microfinance, that there's microfinance that works really well, and then there's the microfinance where people come around with the baseball bats to your door to get you to pay it back again, you know. And in open source, there's really good open source, and then there's open source that is actually exploiting free labor from academics and people on university campuses, okay? We don't want to be the bad guys. Mm-hmm. We always want to be the good guys. That's our goal. And we're here, we're the good guys, and we're here to help the good guys. Yeah. You know, and we want to be called on it if someone thinks we're not being that.
Now, you didn't hold a book up during your presentation. You haven't really sold us anything other than your ideas and your passion. Mm. And people were very invested in that today. So I'm going to give you the pleasure of completely detached from what you're doing. You've actually written a book of fiction, haven't you?
I have, yes. So it's called... It's called The Lobster Boy and the Fat Lady's Daughter, and it's a crime fiction novel that takes place on the circus. I grew up on the circus. My parents, my grandparents were circus performers. And this is me writing, in a way, about all the things that I knew when I was growing up, but making it compelling and a really cracking read.
You looking at your physique, you weren't the lobster boy, were you?
I was not the lobster boy, no, definitely not. But I knew him. His name was Grady Stiles Jr., and I knew him really well, yes.
Wow. Well, I don't know how you have time for all of this, I must admit, but I wish you all the best, and it's been a pleasure to meet you here at the Elevate Festival.
Thanks very much. Thanks for the interview.